Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful you are with me on this 29th day, almost the end of December 2019, our last broadcast for the year. I'm very, very grateful you chose to be with us as we take a look at New Year's resolutions. Everybody struggles with New Year's resolutions. I get all sorts of interesting little emails about New Year's resolutions. And what I did, and these came in about, mid-December, the people already anticipating failure. So I thought it'd be fun to deal with them and to share a little insight with you about New Year's resolutions and basically about change in general. I want to remind you, we just have a couple of days till January 1st to make your donation and have it matched by our mystery donor, who is very generous and kind and is looking forward to your donation. And hopefully you will make one today before the deadline on January 1st, 2020. It has to be here by midnight. So if you like this radio program, if you have found it to be helpful, if you have found what Aspire is really all about, our service to humankind through hospice and the BATMO project with the kids, then I hope you will make a donation and maybe even become a sponsor. That would be a lovely thing, to become a sponsor. A sponsor is a person who makes quarterly or monthly donations. You are privy then to the message of the month each and every month. It can be sent to you via CD, or you can download it on our website at aspire.org. You also get the podcast, video cast, and commentaries two every month. And there are loads of them, I mean loads of them, on the website you can go and look at. You have all of those. And these are very unusual offerings. I give you the perspective of what it is to really mature and maturate into an authentic spiritual practice, and what the pitfalls are, what the issues are. Over my almost 50 years of being a teacher, I have lots of experiences with success and failures with students, and I talk about how a student succeeds in the authentic and how they fail, you know, and they do. Believe me, they do. So there is a lot of information there if you're a sincere person, if you are really seeking to work upon yourself and you want to know, well, you know, what is going on here? What is at stake? And it will always be, of course, the ego. But I talk about the pitfalls, the successes, how to simulate inner work, how to deal with disappointments, the whole thing. It's all there in the commentaries, and I hope that you avail yourself of them. They're more than worth it. But I want to warn you, they're candid. I pull no punches, because why would I? It's, you know, your life, and your life matters, and I want you to totally understand what it means to be immersed in a authentic spiritual practice and what that's all about and the consequences of it, the whole thing. I talk from the perspective of the Buddha, the Jesus, Lhasa. I help you with, there's lots of what we call spiritual stories in there that will help you. There's so many things in becoming a sponsor. And if you don't want to be a sponsor, which is sad, then maybe you can get a subscription to the commentaries. But you have to brace yourself. Believe me, you do. It's not a pretty picture all the time, but at least you know, at least you understand and you know what's going on. Okay, let's go to the radio program here, and the whole idea of what does it mean to make some kind of New Year's resolution? What are we doing? What is all this? where we're not going to do something, where we're going to do something, where we're going to break a mold, break a habit, break. Well, what are we talking about here? So, first question comes from Tom in Colorado. He says, I always make New Year's resolutions, and Greg, I never keep a single one of them. Depressing, he says, Tom. The reason we make New Year's resolutions is simply because we want to improve some part of our life. We see something is missing or something is wrong or something isn't healthy or whatever you want to term it to be. And then we decide we're going to change our whole genetic relationship to our body and our ancestors and our DNA, and we're going to become this totally new person. Well, that isn't going to happen. Not even in the slightest, because the impulses that come from our emotionality are chemical in our body. They're totally chemical. And what they do is they act and react with other chemistry in the body, and we start to build within ourselves a wall of being contrary, contrariness, let's use that word, where we just want to be in the habit of the habit, and that's all it is. And, you know, I have a discipline that I live by. I am actually recording this at 2:39 in the a.m. And why? Because I just finished my meditations. I have a very big and long day ahead of me at hospice and with counseling and radio I had to do. And I have to do a podcast and a video cast and a update. And there's so many things I have to do in the day. This is my quiet time. And I use this time because no one is on the phone to me, no cars going by, no interruptions. I am kind of focused from my meditation to do all this, and I get some beautiful insights where the collective unconscious is down. This is a discipline. You want a New Year's resolution without the discipline. Some people would look at me and say, well, he's very set in his ways. He doesn't like change, blah, blah. I am focused. I am deeply disciplined so I can give you these messages, so I can write a commentary, so I can do a discourse for you, for those of you who are subscribers to my discourses. So there is all of this difference between a discipline and a New Year's resolution, a resolution where you're going to say, I'm not doing that anymore. And then without discipline, you find yourself doing it anyway. And that's the key. It's the discipline. You must be disciplined. Now, who wants to be disciplined in a culture and in a society that looks at discipline as something that is a limitation? To me, discipline is not doing those things that harm me. And what harms me is just to go willy-nilly into life, just doing what I'm doing, trying to live my life in the accord of my desires, my ambition, my pride, my vanity. You're going to have to step back, Tom, and start to see what it is you're doing and how it might be damaging to your ability to have consciousness. And this is not something that most people much think of, is the state of consciousness. Consciousness is of no real interest to most people. Consciousness is that place inside you where you recognize the infinite, the beauty of the infinite that lives within you, where you become actually immortal. Inside, you have awakened to the immortal truths of love, of kindness, of meaning in your life. But for the most part, people do not see this. They don't understand it. They don't recognize it. They don't see the value in it. So when you are making New Year's resolutions, you are missing. You are thinking in terms of a resolution that might change your behavior and your belief that is, if that behavior is changed, your life will change. And to a certain degree, that might be applicable. We'll just say that. But the real change is to go to the immortal part of you, the heart of you, the destiny of your heart, and to live in that destiny for the sake of compassion and love. That's really what it's all about. And if you don't make changes that create consciousness, that create the ability to have consciousness, your resolutions are going to mean nothing. You know, okay, so I'm going to eat spinach once a week, huh? That's the resolution. I'm going to lose 15 pounds. That's the resolution. Those kind of things are easy to avoid. You have to see the bigger picture. The reason change doesn't work in most of us is we don't see the necessity for it enough. We aren't willing to risk the way we live for the sake of change itself. It's very, very sad, but very, very true how we are. Tom, give up your resolutions. Become disciplined. Choose one thing that is, you know, is difficult for you. Maybe not the most difficult, but difficult. Maybe you're not going to smoke anymore, or maybe you're not going to criticize people anymore verbally. Maybe you're not going to be negative, or maybe you're not going to be foolish in some way that you deem foolish, and simply be aware of it and practice it as much as you can. You'll soon see it's a domino theory. Once you start practicing one thing, it'll knock down another domino, and you'll have to practice that. And you'll go on a little further, knock down another domino, and you'll have to practice that. And pretty soon you will see that change, one authentic change in your life can lead to many. But you have to want love more than wanting what you love for that to happen. And that's an entirely different story. That's why people fail, because they're impulsive and they're emotional. And we let that guide our entire life. Sad. I hope that helped you. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next question is from Reynolds. He does not tell me where he lives. That is his first name, Reynolds. Can I change? I don't think so. It just seems like I wind up where I began over and over and over again. Reynolds, it is true what you say. The human mind does not want to change. It really doesn't. And the human body is a big part of that, because it gets comfortable with the way things are and how it feels about where things are and how things are. And it definitely becomes stagnated and patterned. So the best way to break a pattern is to see the whole shamata, to see exactly what the pattern is built for and by. And usually it's built for and by one of two things: to avoid something we don't want to, you know, face, or to get something we think we want. Now, when you get all of that and you bring that into the context of your life, you start to see that how you and I behave in our adult life through our impulses, our behaviors of right and wrong, good and bad, our moralistic beliefs and all of that, you soon see how shallow that is, pedestrian, because we have a mind that is basically built on the idea of do this, get that, do this, get that. It's a parochial mind, a very shallow mind. So if I do this, then this will happen. If I don't do that, then that won't happen. And we think that will be the cure-all. I am amazed as I work with people how absolutely mechanical they are, how they think, plug this in, this happens. Unplug that, that won't happen. They're looking for formulas and beliefs and theories and philosophies that will, in their mind, upgrade their life. You can't build a philosophy or live in anything that is, let's say, moralistic unless it matches some genetic disposition you have in your body. Try as you will. If you are devoted to your body, which most people are, you will only be able to change that which your body deems comfortable or acceptable or real or true. That's as far as it will ever go. And I've put that in layman terms, and I hope it helps you immensely. Because once you understand, my God, I am captured. I am in the prison of my human body, and it is dictating to me what I can and cannot do. Once you understand that, once you truly get that, once you are totally aware of that, that is when the awakening begins to happen. You have to see it, though, for yourself. No one can do this for you. This is something that has to emulate from your own personal direct experience. And until you are absolutely convinced that you cannot go on any longer the way you are, until you are absolutely convinced this must stop now, you won't do it. It just won't happen. Because the body's influences and the chemicals that go on and the endorphins that are in your brain and blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to get into all of the details of it, but all of that will come into play. And you will soon find you are thinking, saying, and doing things impulsively. You didn't even know you were doing it. And bingo, we're off to the races. It's a hopeless situation for most people. Absolutely hopeless. Because they don't want to see the bigger picture. All they want is results. I want a better life. So if I say this and I don't say that, if I do this and I don't do that, that'll get me what I want. Parochial mind, very small, pedestrian mentality. The mental acuity is not that of the bigger picture. Can't see the bigger picture, won't see the bigger picture, doesn't want to see the bigger picture. So you can't make a change that will stick. Because eventually you'll go back to what the impulses of your body are telling you to do and what not to do. And as long as you and I are doing that, we make for ourselves the life we have now in the physical world. I've watched people, you would think they had better common sense than what they do. You would think that, but they don't. They don't have any common sense. And that is a big, big problem in our country today, common sense. It is the ability to see that 2 and 2 make 4, not 8, not 12, not 30. 2 and 2 is only 4. And if you don't understand that, if you don't get that, if that does not pertain to your life in any way, shape, or form, if you can't see the equation of your own life, then you're not going to be able to make any changes in your life. The biggest change a person can make is to live in loving kindness. Just loving kindness. That is not something you get genetically. That is not a genetic trait. Meditating would be another very big one. That is not a genetic trait. It does not have its origins in your genetics, in your ancestryhood. It just doesn't. You have to step out of that. And if I don't step out of it, then I will just conform with my own thoughts, my own beliefs, my own depressions, my own whatever, my own interpretation of my life. And I will miss the entire thing. The show will go on, but I won't be very conscious of what that show is all about and really what is going on. No change? What can I say to you? You have to want love more than wanting what you think is love. Keep pushing this little idea to you guys. Until you understand love, until you are willing of love, until love is of great interest to you. Compassion, love, forgiveness, nothing can change. I have to step out of the mechanism here. I hope that helps you, Reynolds. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question, this comes from Sam. He does not tell me where he lives. How do I find what is new in me? I want to be new. Sam, that's an interesting question. How do you find what's new? It would be only new to your mind. It would only be new to your emotionality. What you are is beyond new. What you must be seeking is not new, but what is authentic, what is real. And you don't present that to the human form, because if you do, the human form will eat that up, tear it apart, and ruin it. Before you even get out of the gate, you will already be defeated. You find the authentic in you. And the way you do that is, you're not going to like what I have to say here, through denying your emotionality, denying the whole intent of your genetic disposition, of following your DNA. You're not going to like that, because then you say, well, then what do I follow? You follow your authentic heart. You see, what we're following now is nothing more than our ego, our vanity, our pride. What we are doing now is just the genetics. We're following the family heritage, all of us. And this can be done. It's a no-brainer. It can be done all the time, and it usually is done all the time, and it makes for a very difficult life, because you accomplish maybe many, many things, but nothing is accomplished that you can take with you through death. It is a real problem. It is a real problemo. It really is. And I can't explain to you here on radio how devastating this is to your own life. We don't have an appreciation of the meaning of our life, and nor are we much interested in it past what can happen to us on this earthly plane. That's about as far as we go, is the earthly plane. So with that being said, we miss. If you are really interested in the answer to your question of finding something new, you have to step out of the concept of a body. You have to step out of the concept that your mind can hold. Yes, you must meditate. You must drop the mind. Drop right and wrong. Drop good and bad. Drop the theories of what people say about you, the beliefs they have about you, all the craziness that human beings have about opinion, and just want nothing with all of your heart. You have to be that brave. And that's a big step. But before you can even take that step, you really have to see where the meaning of your life is in the proportion of your priorities, and discover whether or not you really are interested in those priorities, in that proportion of finding the authentic meaning of your life. If that is not the cause, nothing is. Nothing is going to change. Nothing dramatic is going to happen. Nothing of love will ever reach you. Nothing. And that will be tragic, and that's the way most people are. They never find the authentic meaning of what it is to have a love that is greater than their desire, their ambition, their pride. Sam, I hope that helps. Please forgive me. Namaste. Well, there we are, the last program of the year. I want to thank all of you for listening this year. I want to thank those of you who have become sponsors. I want to thank those of you who made donations to sustain our radio program. I want to thank all of my listeners who have offered their questions over this year. I want to thank you all for making this possible. Please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.